All right, City Council will get started, albeit belatedly, at 6:40 PM. The clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Here.
Mr. DeLuise.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Kirby.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. Muto.
Here.
Napa.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Nine present.
All right, where are we at? Let's see, Councilman Gephardt, please do the salute to the flag.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the
First up, general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President, and to my colleagues, thank you for carrying the load while I was missing here. I'm going to ask for a moment of silence for a dear friend of my wife and I, Leah Carla Musto Clifton, who passed much too young.
We all please have a moment of silence. All right, moving on to executive communications, there are none. Next is public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues, subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst the speakers. Time shall not be transferable amongst speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. All right, first up is Rob Cody.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. Well, you may not believe this, but I found myself today in the rare and unique position of not knowing what to say tonight. I didn't attend the hearings because of the anger that I festered after reviewing and digesting a, once again, unsustainable budget. I am concerned and upset because it is evident that no one has the skill set to extrapolate the continued escalating budget expenses, mostly attributable to salary increases and benefits, and to understand the long-term consequences on the city's residents, especially the elderly and those on fixed incomes. I've been speaking about waste, theft, and abuse of the taxpayers' dollars here in Warwick for years, and there has been no action taken to enhance efficiency in the city in any of the departments. Reckless spending seems to have no boundaries in the city. I've listened to the fire chief and his assistant continue to make false statements, whether pertaining to sick time, overtime, unnecessary apparatus runs, and personnel requirements, As examples, Chief McMichael stated in public during discussions of the Boston schedule that moving to that schedule would save $650,000 a year in overtime. The facts, in 4 years, not including this past fiscal year, his department used in excess of $8.8 million of overtime over and above his budgeted allotment for overtime, with no consequences and no questions from this council except from Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Ricks. I'm just guessing, but maybe that's because 7 of the 9 council members have taken large contributions from the fire union PACs, just my thoughts. The schemes just don't end. From 1,700 sick days to 3,000 changes of shift, to driving around wasting fuel, wear and tear, it's evident that this chief and his department are not concerned at all about the cost to the taxpayers, and they certainly lack the skill set to run the department in a fiscally sound manner. With regards to DPW, I don't know how many videos I have to make pertaining to workers driving around, not working, hiding out, wasting fuel and time, all on the taxpayers' dime. For the last 8 years, stated within the DPW contract is a stipulation that states there shall be an employee proficiency and productivity committee to ensure operational productivity. Yet to this date, it doesn't exist, although it's a contract requirement. What has the council done about it? Nothing. We just continue to ignore the waste. How many photos do I have to send and text messages to members of the council and the poor chief of staff of water department personnel hiding out behind the compost station at 1:30 virtually every day? Why are there water department vehicles in the compost station at 1:30? Why do workers leave their workstation at 11:30 in the morning to drive halfway across the city so they could go back to the city yard to have lunch and then drive back across the city to return to where they were working? This activity is anything but efficient and productive, yet it happens every day with no corrective measures in place. Mr. Muto, you told me a year and a half ago that you were introducing legislation to put GPS in every vehicle. Where's the legislation? When will we have that conversation? My guess is it won't happen. The fact of the matter is that the city is not being run in an efficient and cost-effective manner like a professional business, and the long-term consequences are right around the corner. There will be a rude awakening to the taxpayers when the school bonds come due. Speaking of schools, we have a department carrying millions in deficits with no real definitive plan to reduce the liabilities, yet the teachers want continued raises in benefits while producing proficiency levels of 20% while maintaining the highest paid teachers in the state with some of the lowest scores, but yet somehow they feel new buildings will change all that. This budget shows $3.8 million in raises, which is unsustainable. Here's what needs to be done to correct this catastrophic path that we're on. Pay freezes need to go into effect immediately for the next several years. Employees need to contribute more to healthcare costs. Benefits need to be reduced to realistic benefit packages that are in line with the private sector. Retirees need to contribute to their post-employment benefits. And lifetime healthcare needs to be abolished as it is simply unsustainable. These are immediate steps, but they're more to take for sure. One last point pertaining to litigation liability. The city's fighting several lawsuits with millions of dollars of settlements projected.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cody.
Poor training of employees have been the cause of these lawsuits, and failure to recognize potential dangers is another. As an example, there are several lawsuits pending due to the tragedies at Connecticut Point. The steps that the city has taken, although in good faith, is not enough to reduce our potential liability and to increase safety for those unsuspecting patrons of the area. We need to do more, because the fact of the matter is there will be more fatalities that you can count on. I implore the city to please do more to protect those that come to our city. And one last point to my councilman, Mr. Kirby: 2 budget hearings, $750 million of expenditures, and to this date, not one word, not one question. May I remind you that your obligation is to the taxpayers. That means understanding the subject matter and posing questions. To this date, you have done neither. Thank you.
Ann Sheridan.
Good evening, and thank you for letting me speak. I'm not as eloquent as Mr. Cody is, but I would like to comment that I think the school department did a remarkable job in their presentations, and I think they are committed to change, and that they are starting to share some resources with the other side of the city, which is great. And I loved hearing about the Bell and Bus issue. and hope that they keep that up. I mean, I think all of us know that the only people that want to take a bus are the little kids. So, you know, if you're beyond elementary school, you're going to find any way to get out of a bus. So I think it's important for them to stay on top of the bus. You mentioned Chromebook schedules, and nobody's here from there, so I don't know how we're going to pass this by. But we all have heard over and over again how critical it is to keep our kids off electronics. So if they're going to start changing the schedule, I think they shouldn't allow Chromebooks before the sixth grade. I mean, kids get a chance to spend time at home, but I have a great-grandchild that got a Chromebook at kindergarten, and it was ridiculous because what does he do with it but play games? As Mr. Cody said, I think employee benefits are outrageous and a contentious issue between the taxpayers and all of the municipal employees, and I think something should be done, and we should start working now, and maybe you all do, but we should start working now. The president of the school union opened the door. She suggested that the current plan where they get 90 days and all of these benefits was something that the council decided 40 years ago. So things change, times change. Maybe we can work with them to get some changes sooner than later, because it has to happen. I mean, one of the things would be floaters. There's no reason why these people, the employees have the same days. I mean, why some of them couldn't be converted into floating days, and that would certainly relieve a lot of the water, the sewer, police and fire. I mean, the fire department's overtime is bordering on criminal, I would almost say. There has to be a way, and I mean, I don't know whether you could bring in outside consultants that can show something different, but something different has to happen. No person could work that much overtime that's calculated in this budget. It's not healthy, it's not safe, and they should be the ones that ask for better staffing. And if they're not, then we all, it may just bear out the truth that we all seem to think that most of them work a second job, and that the internally they all mix their hours together to take their own benefits from it. I think we should look at changing collecting recycling to every other week. And I think most taxpayers would be happy with that if they knew there was some kind of mitigation in costs coming forward. We know the bottle bill's coming, so that's going to reduce the collection. And our own senator is talking about decreasing, working with about boxes being delivered. And I can see, I have to admit, I get a lot of Amazon deliveries almost daily, and I'm seeing many of them in packages now, in envelopes rather than boxes. So it's probably cost effective to them, and that they're working on it. Somehow, some way, we've got to align the benefits that the employees are getting to what the average taxpayer would get. I mean, I worked in government, and I worked in private industry, and the difference is monumental. Most of you aren't old enough to hear the stories about when people...
You have 1 minute, Ms. Sheridan.
Okay, I won't go down there. I have two other things. One is there is proposals before you about tax freezes for apartments. That cannot happen. We should not be giving any apartment complex tax treaties. That's not going to go to help the renter, regardless of whatever, you know, the documented restrictions are. These any restrictions in rental goes into is considered when they're considering the fair market value of the apartment building that generates the tax. There is no way that the developer is going to say, I'm going to guarantee that X person who's in a rent control unit is going to get lower taxes. The savings is going to go somewhere, and I can almost guarantee you it's not going to go to the property because it's not going to be enough. You've got sky apartments that are...
Time's up, Ms. Sheridan.
Oh, can I have one more minute? Can I please? There's nobody else going to speak.
I can't, Ms. Sheridan. I'm sorry.
Okay. On my way going to sit down, I would just like to say I think you need to find money for the AP courses because we need stellar students.
Michelle Landry, I believe. I apologize if I butchered that.
Michelle Landry, I am the Science Department Chairperson at Tollgate High School. I could not be here Tuesday for the budget for the schools because I am the advisor for the National Honor Society, and we had our annual induction ceremony on Tuesday, which went very, very well. I have 61 Honor Society kids at Tollgate High School who are doing great things. I just want to say I emailed every council person my thoughts about the cuts to WTU. I'm losing a person in science, and I am very concerned about the courses we will be able to offer next year. Number one, because the loss of a teacher, which is likely going to result in the loss of elective classes. And number two, because of the policy that currently exists, that there have to be at least 12 course requests to run a class. AP classes do not always have 12 requests. They might have 6, they might have 8, they might have 10, but these are the kids who have every intention of going to a high-level 4-year college who need AP classes on their schedule. And to have that requirement for AP classes is just as much an injustice as saying that special ed classes can't run unless there are at least 12 students. It's the same injustice, just opposite ends of the spectrum. We run special ed classes with less than 12 kids because of the needs of those children. AP is the opposite end of the spectrum. And those kids deserve the classes that they want as much as the special ed kids do. I have a child who is in special education, so I am all about special education, but we have to honor the AP students as well. And I just want to leave by saying, balancing a budget by cutting teachers hurts students. Thank you.
Mary Townsend.
Good evening, City Council President, City Council members. Mary Townsend, Warwick taxpayer, lifetime Warwick resident, special education teacher assistant in Warwick Public Schools, completing my 45th year, active community member and volunteer throughout the District of Warwick. I am standing here thinking about the time that we have spent on all of the things that may appear to be now resolved. I believe there are things that could have been resolved in other ways. However, I'm going to say that I'm hopeful that this is the night when we all start to move forward, especially in Warwick Public Schools, doing the job and completing the mission that we have to do, which is educating and working for our students. So I want to thank all of you who are supporting the district in our efforts to just return to that place, to that happy place where we all should be anyway. Thank you.
Don Fife.
Council President and members of the City Council. I know you, Mr. President, mentioned in one of the previous meetings that you were working on senior citizen discount and a veterans discount. You were working on it? All right. The senior citizen discount hasn't been increased in years, probably 10 years or longer. Same with the veterans discount. We need that to help pay the property taxes. Whatever you can do, it would be greatly appreciated. It's been many, many years since we got an increase. So whatever you can do, thank you.
Darlene Netco.
Hi, Darlene Netco, Ward 7, teacher of 36 years in Warwick, 38 years overall, WTU president. I did make some comments the other night. I didn't have time to make some of them because I was educating the council on matters that our administration was a little bit cloudy on. What I had wanted to say the other night was just to take a little walk down memory lane, going back to fiscal year 2012, when the city, and it's nobody's responsibility here, but the city cut the schools by 5% below the maintenance of effort to an amount of about $6 million, which they never recouped. Then in 2008, Mayor Avedisian had frozen the bond and didn't unfreeze it until a number of years later when the school department and school committee agreed to pay the interest on that bond. And as the late Eugene Nadeau used to point out, the only city or town in the country that required its schools to pay the cost of the bond. I know the last few years, the mayor and the city council has done better about funding the schools. The other point I wanted to make about funding, though, was that your own budget commission pointed out that last year the schools were underfunded by $2.1 million. This body never voted on that budget, even though the legislation said that it should have. I know there was some interpretation that the budget you voted on last May counted toward that legislation, but that really makes no sense. The Budget Commission, after almost a year, finally did come up with a deficit reduction plan, but as I've pointed out before, it was a full year wasted because our school committee and school department had started meeting with the Auditor General last January. So you had a Budget Commission that proved the schools needed more money. You had a Budget Commission that approved every cost of the school department except for $27,000 for Edpuzzle and $100,000 for student assistance, which they told the city to pay for out of their opioid fund money. Going forward, if that $2.1 million had been voted on, why it wasn't, because if it had become part of maintenance of effort, then you would have had to take that funding into account. As of right now, the mayor is funding what the school department has asked and is using the rainy day fund to pay for that $1.1 million that the Budget Commission said should be part of the deficit reduction for this year. The only question is, and I know it's difficult to ask, but as you heard, the school department has made some drastic decisions about cutting AP classes and reorganizing the Warwick Early Learning Center that will result in some hardships for students on our youngest students, our oldest students, our most needy students on both ends. So if you are able to do as you have done in the past, find some money and to tell the schools how they have to use it, that would be very helpful. I know you've done that in the past, and I know overall you only approve of the budget and you can't tell the schools how to use it. If you do appoint a little extra money for the AP classes and the Welk situation, that would be greatly appreciated. And as Mr. Napa said the other night, it was refreshing that we did not have the recriminations and the accusations and the issues that we've had in the past. So hopefully the city and the schools can work together for the betterment of all of our students. Thank you.
All right, next up, we're on budget items. First, before us is PCR 55-26, relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. so that we can get going on this. Do we have a motion? Councilman Foley?
Point of information. So we want a motion for favorable action?
Unless you want to turn it down, yeah.
Louder.
Yes, unless you want to vote it unfavorable action.
No. So favorable action.
All right, second.
All right, motion made and second. Any discussion on the PCR 55-26? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, next is PCR 56-26, resolution adopting the budget and estimating the tax rates of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2026 and ending June 30th, 2027, inclusive of FY27 general funds, FY27 personnel funds, FY27 special and capital funds budgets. All right, so first up, administration. Oh, all right, so first, do we have a motion? Again, same question, so that we can get going. Councilman Foley?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Second by Councilman Lassiter for discussion. So, administration, I know you have some updates you want to make. Rocks, paper, scissors for it.
Just give me 1 second while the computer loads. William Facente, Chief Staff. So the city is proposing, as far as amendments, page 34, we'll start in order, I guess. Page 11, Legislative Department Professional Services, line 16-360. It's currently proposed at $79,653,000. We're asking to amend that by increasing it by $80,000, bringing the total to $159,653. Page 12, Finance Professional Services, line 18-360. Proposed is $150,000. Proposed amendment is to reduce it by $20,000, bringing the final total to $130,000. Page 15, line 25-303, Management Information Systems, telephone. Proposed is $179,000. Proposal is to amend that number down by $79,000, bringing the total to $100,000. Page 33, line 62-303, Public Works Administration General Services. I'm sorry, that should be, that's a typo. 62303 should say telephone. Proposed is $1,000. Amendment is $9,000 increase, bringing it to total of $10,000. And line 30, page 34, line 63-380.
62 what?
63380. Public Works Highway General Services. Proposed was $765. Amending that to increase it by $90,000. Final is $90,765. And the final is page 53, under revenue. It's a line 100-03690, fund balance drawdown. Increase, the original proposed was $3,274,725, increasing that by $80,000 to $3,354,725. Those are the administration's amendments.
All right, does anyone need to hear that again or any miss anything first before we ask for a motion?
If you want any explanation on any of those.
Yeah, so first we need it moved and then second, and then we can get into the nitty-gritty. Councilman Foley.
I move as read by the Chief of Staff.
Second for purposes of discussion.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks. All right, discussion. I saw your light come on. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I suppose out of those, the one that stands out the most to me that I'd like to ask a question about would be the one on page 34, 63-380. I see that over the last several years, that line item, Public Works Highway General Services, has fluctuated quite a bit. So
correct.
I'm curious as to what the intent is by increasing it by that amount.
So, Councilman, a few years ago, this council, less maybe a few of the members, current members, decided to include ward projects funding, $10,000 per ward, equaling $90,000. That's where that fund sits. It's up to the council member in the respective council ward to request expenditure of that fund. And we, yeah.
Thank you.
So, to the mayor's point, we inadvertently left that out. It was an oversight. Like the finance director said, and I probably said it, we cut everything we could, and you know, we probably cut a little bit too much at some places.
Understood. Thank you for the clarification there.
Does anyone else have any discussion on this amendment? And this doesn't foreclose us from changing anything after, bear in mind, so more than welcome to do amendments post this one. But any further discussion on this amendment? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right, so this now stands before us as amended. So, does anyone, any lights? Anyone want to do anything? No further amendments? Which is fine.
Oh, further. Oh, I thought you were talking about them.
Oh, no, I know they're done. So, Councilman Muto, you lit up?
Okay. Thank you. So before I get into my proposed amendments, I just want to talk about or make a few statements. I'm going to be proposing $1,056,000.
Oh, Councilman Lattisa, I apologize. The solicitor scolded me. We have to get a motion on the proposed item as amended first, and then we can start discussion on it. I apologize. That's my fault.
But this is, I'm not making amendments right now. This is like a preclude to my amendments.
This is so you can make the statements you're trying to make. We need to get a motion, just like before, we need to have for discussion, and then we can start saying whatever we want to say. So does anyone have a motion as amended? Councilman Foley? All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Councilman Muto. All right, then.
Okay.
No. You just told me I had to. That's why I did the thing.
there's two different things at play here. If we're doing amendments, let's do amendments and keep it orderly. Otherwise, comments would be charged against your final thoughts of the item altogether.
I misinterpreted the nature of the scolding. My apologies.
Okay, so you want us to start off with our amendments?
If there are other amendments.
Go through each amendment, vote on each amendment as we present them, and then when we're done with our amendments, we would have an opportunity to speak to why we proposed those amendments.
You gave the affirmative nod.
But my suggestion for the orderliness of this is to address one amendment at a time, vote those amendments as we go along, and at the conclusion of no further amendments, if folks have other comments to be made, to conclude at that point in the evening. So to take amendments one at a time. Offer an amendment, second, discussion, action, inaction, whatever it may be.
All right, that changes things around a bit for me. But I'll start off with...
Councilman Lazar, so if you want, you can talk about the overall bill. It's just going to count towards your time, he's saying.
I'm sorry?
It'll count towards your time towards the thing as a whole.
Under the rules, the amendments are all going to be treated as a separate issue before us, so you'll have time to speak on each of those components. If there's no amendment pending before us, we're going to be charging under the rules to people's time on the overall item. So it's your pleasure, but...
So when we make or suggest an amendment, that will also, if I'm going to take money out of a particular line item, I've got to also say where I want that money to go, right?
The suggestion would be to present an amendment in its total form. So if it is increasing certain expenses or decreasing them together in a package that balances and thus would have no levy impact, that would be one suggestion to get them all aired together. Get it moved and seconded, and then discuss that package of amendments, have a vote on it, and proceed if there's other amendments.
All right, we'll start down the list, and you can adjust as we go along. My first amendment is an MIS, and it is item 25303. It is for a telephone, and I propose to reduce that amount by $20,000.
Could I just ask that you just give us the page number that you're before you? I know it's MIS, but just
sure.
Thank you.
I think that's page 15, I believe.
We'll have to go through it because I didn't write the page numbers down.
Councilman Lassiter, this is a point of clarification. Am I correct in that you want to amend the one that they requested to amend, and then we amend it already to 100,000? You want to remove additional money?
So the item now stands before us on the by adoption of the prior amendment. The original $179,000 was reduced by $79,000, and that account now stands as a proposed $100,000 item.
Okay, I'll withdraw that one. Next item is animal shelter. It is on page 18, item number 28-222, natural gas. I'm proposed to reduce that by $2,000.
Do you want to pair that with where you want to put it, or do you want to...
Sorry?
Do you want to pair that with where you want to put the money, or no? It's up to you. It's your amendment.
Well, at this point, because of discussion we've had earlier, I was going to be moving some of my deductions to a line item for seniors and veterans exemptions. But as of yesterday, I was informed that that can't happen unless or until we go to the General Assembly to be able to get those approvals done. So at this point, and I'll bring this full circle when this is over and we have our comment time, at this point, all of my adjustments will be going to reduce the drawdown from the fund balance.
All right, so is there a second for the motion so that we can actually discuss it? Seconded by Councilman Ricks.
So Councilman Lattiser is moving an amendment that has two pieces. It is a reduction to 28,222 in the amount of $2,000, which would leave 19,928. And this would be shifting that $2,000 to offset the fund balance drawdown 100-03690, which was previously just increased by 80,000 to 33,54725. And so we'd be shifting $2,000 off of that. Councilman?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Foley?
Point of information through the chair to Councilman Lattiser. Based on what you just said, so all the reductions that you're going to list now, you want to be transferred to line item to lessen the drawdown. Is that
correct? Yes. Which will lessen the tax increase. Well, it's going to lessen what we're drawing down on the rainy day account anyways.
Councilman, is it fair to say, if I had to guess, based on that line item, that the others that you plan on doing all share a theme, such as potentially all natural gas?
There's a good portion of them that will have natural gas, electric, gasoline, telephone. There's some other items. In salaries in water department, so there's numerous items.
So my suggestion, as long as the solicitor doesn't say it's impossible, would be to, if we can, group at least by theme at a minimum, where we can do, hey, here's all the natural gas reductions I want to do. That way, you can provide your overall rationale. Your argument will have more oomph too. Not to stack the deck, but it'll help make more sense as opposed to seemingly like. Doing it piecemeal.
Okay, it's just going to take longer to get through this, but we can do it that way. It's not the way I have it down here. So, is it your intent to vote on each item individually or do them all at once?
Honestly, it's up to you. I'm just trying to help you get what you're going for.
Okay.
Because from where I'm sitting, you stand to have more of a negotiation leverage if you have all the natural gas together as opposed to seemingly just taking a dollar here, a dollar there, especially if you're doing it in a way that I'm guessing you're doing, which is like saying, hey, I'm doing a percentage from all these.
Okay, we'll go that route. Next item is natural gas. It is item 3222. And that is found on page 19. And I am looking to reduce that by 3,000.
Page 19.
All right.
32. Councilman, what was the number?
So
what was the line item on that?
30.
I'm sorry?
What was the line item on that?
3222. Yeah, that's why.
Natural gas.
I made that worse. That's my fault. He said it correctly. I did not.
Appreciate the patience of everyone. Councilman Lattiser is if there's no objection, Councilman Lattiser would like to modify the amendment so that we tackle
similar things in one comprehensive amendment, and that would be that there will be reductions to various accounts to be read, and that the all of these reductions would be put to offset changes to the fund balance drawdown. And so, Councilman Lattiser, if you would please address all the accounts and the amounts that you would like those adjusted, we'll get a tally at the end for the total impact to the fund balance account.
Okay, so we'll start from the beginning. It'll be animal shelter. Excuse me, animal shelter. It's line item 28222, natural gas, a reduction of 2,000. Animal shelter, code 28224, electric, 1,000. Police, item 32220, gasoline, 20,000, reduction of 20,000. All of my items are reductions. 32222, natural gas, 3,000. 32224, electric, 7,000. 3303, telephone, 4,000. Sure.
Or repeat the last one.
I'll slow down.
You're going quick. Could you repeat the last one?
30-303, telephone, 4,000.
Minus 4,000. Okay.
3340, service contracts, 40,000. Fire. Budget code 35-111, overtime, 300,000. Fire 35-220, gasoline, 1,500. Fire 35-221, diesel, 15,000. Fire 35-222, natural gas, 3,500. Fire 35-224, electric, 8,500. Parks and Recs, 45-303, telephone, 1,500. Library, 43-332, security and alarms, 4,200. Ice rink, 44.
There was a question of the last amount, $4,200?
Yes, 4200. Correct.
Thank you.
Ice rink, 44-101, salaries, 53,888. Ice rink, 44304, water, 50,000. Ice rink, 44-305, sewer, 19,350.
Can I just ask you to slow down a little bit? We're trying to write this down as fast as possible.
I'm sure. Yeah, where would you like me to back up to, Chief? Sorry.
How about 43332, $4,200. Stop.
Okay.
For the next one. Thank you.
With the library? Okay. Library.
Yes.
43332, security alarm, 4,200. Ice rink, 44101, salaries, 53,888. Ice rink, 44-304, water, 50,000. ice rink, 44-305, sewer, $19,350. Thayer Warburton, 41-224, electric, $100,000. DPW, 65-220, gasoline, $20,000. $65-221, diesel, $34,000. DPW, 66-224, electric, $10,000. And that completes those items. I do have on a separate item, which would be my reductions in capital.
Okay, if we want to try this amendment that is now read, I, for everyone's cross-checking, I think it's probably worth taking the account number and the amount so we're all on the same page, Councilman. So what I have written down for you is for 28222, a $2,000 reduction.
Correct.
For 28224, $1,000 reduction.
Yes.
30220, $20,000 reduction.
Yes.
30222, a $3,000 deduction.
Yes.
30224, a $7,000 reduction.
Yes.
30303, a $4,000 reduction.
Yes.
3340, $40,000 reduction.
Yes.
35111, $300,000 reduction.
Yes.
35220, $1,500 reduction.
15, right? Is that what you said?
1500?
Yes.
Thank you. 35221, $15,000.
Yes, 15, 1-5.
1-5-0-0-0.
Yes.
35-222, 3-5-0-0.
Yes.
35-224, 8-5-0-0.
Yes.
45-303, 1-5-0-0.
Yes.
43-332, 4-2-0-0.
Yes.
44-101, a reduction of 53,888.
Yes.
44304, 50,000, 50000.
Yes.
44305, 19,350.
Yes.
41224, $100,000.
Yes.
65220, $20,000.
Yes.
65221, $34,000.
Yes.
66224, $10,000.
Yes.
Okay, so in total, that would equate to a reduction of expenses and thus offsetting the fund drawdown balance of $698,438. So this item was previously amended to be increased by $80,000. Which would be a $3,354,725. That would now become a reduction of that amount and leaving a new fund drawdown balance of $2,656,287. And appreciate if anybody else is keeping track.
Numbers match.
If that's the case, any discussion on the amendment?
So do we need a second? Because the prior second was for a very different scope. You're good for a second? Perfect. All right. So discussion.
Point of order, Council President. Is this going to be taken as one whole amendment? Or are these, can we pull some items out of there?
I mean, right now it's one whole amendment, but that doesn't mean the sponsor can't opt to say, hey.
What I would suggest is discuss the amendment in total and how you feel about it, of doing it all at once or not, can be amended or changed subsequently. But I think now we have an amendment that's more comprehensive in all the similar ways. You can have discussion about what to do with this, and then we can decide from there as to take it in as one shot or to amend the amendment to deal with it in various pieces that may be of other interest. So the floor is all of yours to discuss the amendment and which approach you'd like to take.
Yeah, for what it's worth, my preference, and which shouldn't govern, it's not even necessarily the right one, but my thought is that I would prefer, if I'm voting on any of these, it would be based on, like I was saying before, the theme, like, here's all the gasoline proposed reductions, because chances are, unless I'm assuming incorrectly, they're for the same reason. Here's all the electricity themed reductions, or even if you just combine the utility ones, so it's not as much, but still general things, because I'm personally not comfortable voting on, in the same breath, salaries, overtime, and utilities. They're, to me, it's a very different grouping of things, but if people want to do it that way, that's fine.
I'm flexible however the body wants to do it.
So Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Pardon me. Thank you. First, I would tend to agree with the council president in terms of preferred groupings, but I think that this is productive for purposes of discussion. So I guess a couple of questions that I would ask be asked to the council person proposing the amendment through the council president. The first question being, unless I missed something, it looks like the one salary line item that's being cut here, proposed to be cut, would be 44-101 Appanagh Rink salaries. So I am curious about that, how that number was derived. I was looking in the personnel supplement, and it just wasn't immediately apparent to me what that particular cut would represent. If I may, through the council president.
So that was the line item in the ice rink, which was adding an additional person to the payroll for that ice rink, which just doesn't make any sense to me, considering what you have in the other two ice rinks.
I think I understand now. The calculation that I'm getting on that, unless I'm missing something here, looking at the personnel supplement. Oh, actually, correction. I see what I am missing here. I was looking at the wrong rink in the personnel supplement. So that explains that difference right there. Okay. My other question through the chair, that is through the president, and by the way, I'm not necessarily taking a position on that one particular proposed cut. I would want to hear more information before making a decision as to whether I would support that particular cut or not. But my other question for the moment is on the various energy line items, gasoline, natural gas. I suppose start with a comment here that the way that I view that sort of thing is that we try to make the best approximation possible in these budgets. Energy prices are going to be very difficult to predict for the entirety of fiscal year 27 as a whole. Currently, I think that the trends are not so positive for us as consumers of energy. There's not just risk to increases in prices of gasoline and diesel due to the Strait of Hormuz and fallout from that, which we're only going to fully realize in a matter of numerous months, maybe 6 months or greater, even after the Strait of Hormuz is fully reopened due to the supply lines and the like. But so as a result of that, natural gas is going to be affected in price as well due to exports of LNG. And so when I was looking through the packet, seeing that, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like across the board, the way that the administration was trying to calculate that was take the price of natural gas actually expended in fiscal year 25, increase it by 20% for the fiscal year 27 request. Hard for me to predict whether that's going to be on the money, 10% too much, 10% too little, but I really can't criticize that approach. However, given that ultimately here, the budget is an approximation, and just because an energy cost may exceed what is in the stated budget, that doesn't mean that the meter gets turned off. It means that we simply have to, as a city, pull more from the fund balance, the rainy day fund. And likewise, if it's overestimated in the budget, turns out it's not so expensive, well, that's money that winds up going back into the fund balance. So changes to the cost of energy would be something that I'd be comfortable with an amendment if it's a matter of changing what we're doing as a city, or if for some reason we don't think that the estimate that the administration has in that particular area is accurate for that particular item. Like, for instance, if there were fewer buildings next year than the last year, something of that nature, or if it were a matter of sending a message of we really have to turn down the thermostat. But generally speaking, I would tend to be inclined to keep at those energy levels projected in the budget, because they seem to be, from a layperson's perspective such as mine, from my experience on the council, looking at these budgets for not quite as many years as Councilman Lattiser, with all due respect, of course. But it's hard for me to disagree with the plus 20% on natural gas relative to fiscal year 25. So that's my comment. And I suppose there's a question in there somewhere through the council president. Thank you.
Was that ultimately a question for Councilman Lattiser?
Yes. So just kind of a general question on Councilman Lattiser's thoughts on the purpose of a reduction in the energy line items such as natural gas, whether it's a matter of we as a city council thinking that those expenditures won't be quite that high, or if it's more of a matter of sending a message on more of a policy ground of belt tightening. That's the gist of the question. Thank you.
So my feeling with all of these items, the natural gas, the electricity, the fuel items, as you look at some of the previous numbers and even the projections for this year, I just feel that those numbers are all inflated. And I tried to apply a balance to them in terms of reduction. Some of these items, as you saw in the administration's reduction in one of their own items, was even more than what I was going to propose, as you saw. So So I think, as I had said last year in the budget, with respect to the electricity and the gasoline, we have not heard testimony that the meters are all the meters. We've heard that these numbers are guesstimates. They're approximate. And I think I disagree with those estimates. And I think my adjustments on them are, while they're small, I think they're necessary. But that's all up to you individually to form your own conclusions with that. But certainly that has shown to be a number that has increased dramatically.
So you're all set for now, Councilman Ricks? All right. I have a question for admin. And it's for everybody's benefit. So if whatever the line item might be, whether it be gasoline, electric, overtime, we use simple numbers, $1,000 is budgeted, and as the year goes on, $2,000 ends up being necessary, what happens? Where does that money come from?
That's called the budget deficit. We're spending more than it's budgeted. It doesn't come out of the rainy day fund. We can't do that, except for an emergency appropriation by an act of the council. We would just run a deficit. Not a good way to run the city.
Yeah.
Is it time for me to comment further, or councilman go first? Your pleasure.
I can barely hear you because of the acoustics of the room. I'm sorry.
I just think you're hard of hearing. Can I comment further, or do you want to wait for the councilman?
Oh, of course. You're up there anyway.
All right. Well, it's hard to know where to start. I mean, I'm opposed to all of these items. We've budgeted the electricity, the fuel, gas as best we can. They're all assumptions. We don't know where the costs are going to go. We can't just simply park fire trucks if they don't have any more diesel. We can't work by candlelight. As far as the rink out here, it's not based off of Thayer's, because this rink we sell tickets, where at Thayer's we don't. Our concession's almost done, so we're going to need someone to man that. It can't be run with two people. Overtime, I don't want to cut that, because you never know what's going to happen. We might have four hurricanes this year. Is there a little bit of, it's not padding, we have enough money. If not used, it returns to the general fund. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not going to make us use less energy. So against all of these amendments, and I urge everyone to vote no, and if they're not, I have to veto them.
All right, Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. I think agree with your sentiment, and Councilman Ricks, that there's too many different types of amendments packed into one thing to have an intelligent conversation and be able to vote up or down on this. This is like this became the American Healthcare Act amendment. There's too many things packed in the back of it. I think parsing it out as electric, gas, reductions in salary, whatever, however the councilman prefers, but it doesn't make sense to vote on it all and one and all down. For those reasons, I would vote no on this particular amendment because it's too much packed in. Furthermore, I think some of these items are necessary for the departments to function. So I think if we can look at them in categories, so that the categories, we're not talking about apples and oranges and peaches all in one basket, categories might make more sense. At this time, it's hard to wrap my head around, but I think many of these items I would be opposed to. But generally, as a whole, I'm opposed because it's too many different things packed into one.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Council President. I wanted to go back through a little bit of budget history on how this administration and the council before this have budgeted and what has occurred thereafter. So obviously, no one likes a structural deficit, and no one likes relying on a drawdown on the fund balance. But as the mayor just said, we don't want to set ourselves up to run a deficit. Electricity, gasoline, natural gas are driven by usage and by the cost. Neither of those can be controlled, perhaps usage, but there's nothing in this budget that meaningfully drives down usage, right? Some of you may know that's the business that I'm driving down, utility usage, but there's nothing in here funding, you know, for an investment to do that. And even if they were, that doesn't materialize for several years. In fiscal 22, the budget contained a $5.8 million drawdown. The actual drawdown in 22 was zero. In 24, $7 million drawdown, the actual drawdown was zero. And that pattern repeats because we plan for the worst and we anticipate the best. So I would caution us, furthermore, I think there's an illogical piece to this amendment being that returning the money to the drawdown really has no net benefit whatsoever. If the amendment was to reduce all these things and lower the tax increase, I would say at least it makes a little bit of sense. But to just return it to the rainy day fund or to the fund balance, that's where it's going to go anyways if things work out to the positive. So I don't think by having a reasonable budget in any of these categories means we're going to go light barrels of gasoline on fire outside, right? If we don't use the gasoline, the money goes back to the fund balance. If we don't use the electricity, the money goes back to the fund balance. So I would urge that we, you know, if other folks have other amendments, you know, we should entertain them. But what I think we have here is a budget that does a good job of dealing with a difficult fiscal year with, you know, helping the schools, fully funding what they're asking for in their budget request, in offloading from the schools their required contribution to the deficit reduction plan, which is additive over and above fully funding what their ask is. We're making investments in other areas, but trying to keep the tax increase below maximum, trying to keep the fund balance as solid and as possible. And I think what we have here is a good budget. And I think we should vote yes on it. And I think we should do that without further ado. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I want to say I support what the efforts are by Councilman Lattiser, but I find myself in a very uncomfortable position that I agree with Councilman Gephardt. And the reason is I also have experience in efficiency management, and without the programs to draw down and save consumption and energy, you know, personnel management, anything like that, all we're doing is putting a stake in the ground and not having programs. If we had programs attached to these energy efficiency programs, workforce management programs, anything like that, then we can make the counter here, and it really goes to the net effect of these cuts will be going to reduce the rainy day increase the rainy day fund. I I'm not thrilled about the budget. I don't, you know, if anyone knows me, I am extremely tight. You know, I don't like to spend money. You can ask my wife. She sees a quarterly spreadsheet just on household, and it's not a joke. I do not like to spend money. However, we do need other ways of managing potential savings. I just don't think this is the way to do it. However, I must emphasize, I do appreciate the effort of looking at different line items, calling out ways to build efficiencies within our city. This is a personal struggle for me, but I will reserve my time and listen to more debate. Thank you.